Okay, well, hi, thank you for coming. I'm Ana Consuelo Matiella, and I'm a fotonovela producer. And I run a business, so in terms of financial disclosure, that's the way I make a living. I have a fotonovela production business. So there you have it. That leads to the funding source for this particular project is called the Small Business Innovative Research, and that's who funded this this fotonovela. All right, so the one we did this interactive bilingual fotonovela, and I hope to be able to show you a clip at the end, but it was called Between Us, and we call it a fotonovela hybrid for the digital world. And here's the title in Spanish, Entre Nos, which I think, you know, works both ways. It's a good title that goes bilingually. And again, it's bilingual, and it's interactive, and it's a fotonovela. So what is an interactive digital fotonovela? It's a hybrid of a traditional fotonovela adapted for today's user, a modern interactive storytelling device to engage, entertain, and educate. Here's the address. It also appears at the end, but you can view the prototype of the digital fotonovela at your leisure at this address when you leave. You can feel free to peruse it. And it's a prototype. So we've received this funding. It's related to NIH, and the goal of the SBIR NIH funding, and this was through the Centers of Disease Control, was to produce and test a digital interactive and bilingual fotonovela prototype on HPV. The primary audience was bilingual Latinas ages 18 to 26 who use their smartphones or the internet to find health information. The secondary audience was health professionals working in the HPV prevention field. And we'll talk a little bit more about why primary and secondary audiences. The specific aims of the study was to assess the feasibility and acceptability of the web novela, and I notice I have that in quotes, and we'll talk a little bit about that as well. So to assess the web novela prototype among this age group, Spanish and English speaking women, and assess changes in knowledge, attitude, and intent to change behavior related to HPV prevention. We also were going to explore the feasibility of health professionals using this tool to reach Latinas in this age group. So that was the second part of the study. We got some very, very interesting findings. And we've published the results, and I'm going to also share that that resource with you so that you can read the article, because it's, I think, is very interesting. But here are some salient findings in the primary audience, which is with Latinas, with bilingual Latinas. We achieved very positive results regarding feasibility and acceptability of the medium and in assessing the knowledge, attitude, and intent to change behavior. So those, for SBIR, those are the measures, you know, that you have to achieve this. Is it a feasible project? Is it acceptable to the audience? And then the second part was assessing the actual knowledge, attitude, and intent to change behavior. But one of the things, another salient finding, is the value of interactivity, and this goes to the gentleman's question of earlier. We produced it with interactive features, but they didn't go deep, right, because it's a prototype. So they could click on certain things and get more information, but they wanted more. So that's a finding, right? When you expose the audience to, right, that you expose them to limited interactivity because it's a prototype, you know, again, limited budget. And then they go, why didn't it go here? And why didn't it take me there? And so that was like a really good sign, right, that the audience was responding and valuing the value of interactivity. They wanted to load it on Facebook and we share it. It's a prototype, right? We can't do any of that. But it was all a very interesting finding. We had a 56% increase in knowledge related to how HPV could be prevented, which we thought was really great. And 77% of the respondents approved of the vaccine at pre-test, while at post-test, 95% of them approved of vaccines. 85% increase in the intent to speak to someone about the HPV vaccine in the next month. And That's a real important finding for us and for this particular research project, because among, well, all people, but among Latinas, and now with social media, that buzz, that wanting to speak to someone, wanting to share it, was very important for us. And again, this is just phase one of this project. The secondary audience, it was interesting. We 99% of the health professionals, we interviewed health professionals all over the country who worked with Latinas in HPV prevention. 99% of the health professionals perceived that their organizations would be receptive to using the medium to reach out to Latinas in this age group. Over 75% perceived that their young Latina clients would find the medium entertaining. Over 50% reported that the biggest challenge would be in promoting the web novela and placing it where Latinas would engage with it. To Dr. Barron's point, right? So you produce, you develop, you produce these educational tools, and then the challenge is, how are you going to fund it? You know, these projects aren't inexpensive. How are you going to fund them, and how are you going to disseminate them? So that they were very concerned about that. The 50% of them reported that that would be a challenge. Now, lessons learned. I think this is where I think was, to me, the most interesting as I move forward with this medium, this digital and interactive. And although these were young women, ages 18 to 26, and fotonovelas go back to, you know, right after the wars when they got really popular, and then they were imported to Mexico, and then they just went crazy in Mexico. But really, fotonovelas are more of, you know, your grandmother's medium, your mother's medium, right? Because right today, pop culture fotonovelas in Mexico exist in a very, very limited way, right? But what was really interesting is that although they were not familiar with fotonovelas, these young women, they were engaged, entertained, and intrigued by the approach, right? So that although it's not like, oh, this is going to work because Latinas are familiar with this medium, that is, in this particular case with, you know, 89 young women, that wasn't the case, but they were still really intrigued, and they still preferred the preference for this approach over others that we had, you know, that we introduced them to. Like, well, what would you rather, you know, we had questions like, would you rather read a pamphlet, or, you know, that kind of thing. And I'll speak a little bit about that too if I have time. I just want to get through the main thing, and then we can double back on some of these points. So I thought that was super interesting. They expressed a desire for more interaction and were disappointed that they couldn't pass it along. That was a huge lesson learned for phase two. And the use of Spanglish was not received well. Now that is super interesting to someone who was raised on the border. Well, it's like Spanglish is my first language, right? So, and I'm a linguist, you know, I have a degree in linguistics, I know, you know, anyway, I wrote the script, right? And I sprinkled, and it's intended for Mexican-American women, so it wasn't, you know, it's not, this particular piece was not for Puerto Rican women or Cuban women, it was for Mexican-American, Mexican women, and I used slang liberally and Spanglish, and it didn't go over well, which is super interesting to me. So in phase two, we might do it a little bit, but, you know, and this is why research is so awesome, because you really get to ask the questions, right? So it was a question, you know, if we're targeting these young people, should we, you know, do it in Spanglish? And I don't think that in phase two we're going to do it in Spanglish. So that's a huge lesson learned. The term web novela, we decided, and you know, this is just what we decided, but the term web novela, we decided we're going to change to digital fotonovela, because Univision and Telemundo have web novelas that are video, they're, you know, moving, they're like movies, right? They're like telenovelas. Difference between a telenovela and a fotonovela is a fotonovela has photos, right? And a telenovela is like the movie, the, you know, serialized programs that you see on television. And web novelas are already out there being produced by Univision and Telemundo with, on stories, you know, dramatic stories, not health education, but, you know, they might have some, you know, sprinkled lessons here and there, but it's purely a pop culture entertainment medium, and they're little, they're very short, which is good because they're consumed online, and those are web novelas, and we still use still photography to tell our story. So we're now calling what we're doing digital fotonovelas as opposed to web novelas. 5 minutes. The male perspective was really intriguing. Okay, we started, I'm going to talk real fast now. We started from a social marketing perspective. I'm a social marketer, and I always start my work with focus group interviews, like, you know, Mel. And the preliminary focus group interviews that we did to build the story, I talked to women. I did, about 30 women in three different groups. And they had this idea of like, well, the first group had this idea of like, what about, we hear guys talking about this, women are always talking about this, blah, 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 you know. And so we decided to do it from a male perspective. And it was intriguing. They liked it, but the audience craved the female point of view. The rotoscoping technique, which now I'm not going to be able to show you, was well received and preferred over the traditional photographic approach. You know what Tammy's point was, that we found that women over the age of 35 or so, they prefer the photos, right? And we tested the fotonovela with photos and the fotonovela with the rotoscoped images, and I'll show you some rotoscoped images right now. And this particular group of, you know, 84 women or 89 women preferred the rotoscoped approach. And it's beautiful. I got to show it to you. Okay. All right. High fidelity, even high fidelity prototypes are difficult to understand and test. The piece was such of high fidelity quality that people really expect a lot from a high fidelity prototype. And it's good, you know, but they also have to realize it's a prototype. So we might change our mind about using prototype. The same thing with the health educators. Prototype was difficult concept to grasp. They wanted to know, why doesn't this go anywhere? Why, when I click this link, it doesn't go anywhere? Because it's a prototype. Let's see, we did it for Google Chrome. It didn't work on Internet Explorer, and that caused all manner of grief. Same finding related to the use of slang in Spanish. Dissemination ideas and challenges. You know, we've thought of embedding the digital fotonovelas in websites. The health professionals thought of that, like in your, you know, Department of Health website or whatever community organization website. We're really leaning towards developing these in mobile-first technology, so mobile-first for primary audience. We could have a whole presentation on the adoption of smartphones by Latinas. It's like over the top, like the fastest adopters. Build it for sharing and audience-centered dissemination. I think the last, you know, and hope what we're exploring is commercial sponsorships and collaborations. And so here's an example of a rotoscoped image. It's a special technique that you do on photographs, and the whole digital fotonovela is based on, is with that. And if we have a little time at the end, if you have questions, we can show, because I obviously don't have time to actually show the prototype. I was hoping that we could, but maybe afterwards. We had our colleague, Dr. Macario, did a beautiful job on this article that we had published on all the findings. And here is the resource for you to read more about it. And that's where you can view the full-on digital fotonovela prototype. If you want to explore it on your own, feel free. You know, it's we're still working on it, and it's a prototype. And here's my contact information. Yep, that's it. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about some of the evidence that you got that suggested to you that it wasn't well received by your audience. Did they tell you?
Yeah, they told us, for example, my cousins cannot speak without saying the word way. Every other word is way this, way that, can no way, can, you know, blah, blah, way, way, way. I use too many ways. A way means, like literally it means ox. And it's like the equivalent of dude, right? And so like the, like so several women in several of the groups. It wasn't like most women. It's just that when you hear it in, we did, geez, six groups or something. And we heard it in almost every group. Not all the women, but hey, the... why are they, you know, they talk funny and we don't talk like that. And, you know, so that I thought the best thing to do is standard, you know, make the language informal, but standardize it and don't try to do the slang because slang varies a lot. The slang from Arizona is going to be different than the slang from East LA. And so does that answer your question? Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. We'll have more questions after the presentation.